The U.S. Soccer Federation released an investigative report this week by former Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates, which uncovered systemic verbal and emotional abuse and sexual misconduct in the National Women's Soccer League. Yates' report found that coaches manipulated and harassed players while executives ignored and dismissed complaints. U.S. Women's National Team Captain Becky Sarbrunn, who plays for the Portland Thorns Football Club in the National Women's Soccer League, is calling for the removal of owners and executives that failed to protect the players from this abuse.
We are angry that it took a third-party investigation. We are angry that it took an article in The Athletic and The Washington Post and numerous others. We're angry that it took over 200 people sharing their trauma to get to this point right now.
The investigation, just the latest in a trend of abuse in women's sports and at the highest levels. We want to hear what you think at 1-800-642-1234. What can we do to protect our female athletes? What are your thoughts about the abuse reported in women's soccer? How do you think women's sports can better protect their women? 1-800-642-1234 to join us. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our guest is Sally Jenkins, a sports columnist for the Washington Post. She was the first woman to be inducted into the National Sportscasters and Sportswriters Hall of Fame, and she was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize in 2019. She wrote a column this week entitled Another Report on Abuse in Women's Sports. When is enough enough? Sally, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Would you take us through some of the details of the report and what stood out to you the most?
Well, the main thing that stands out is the grainy, disgustingly grainy detail that Sally Yates included in the report of the ways in which coaches were abusing, you know, some of our greatest athletes, sexual coercion, calling them the P word and the C word, putting them in very awkward, compromising positions, pressuring them for sex, denigrating them on a daily basis, that sort of thing really stood out the most.
And yet, Sally, this wasn't a few coaches, this wasn't a handful. This report included complaints against coaches for half of the teams in the NWSL. How does abuse like this become so rampant, so systemic across an entire league?
I don't know about you, but I'm getting very tired of the word systemic. In these cases, the word systemic essentially means everybody knew. What it means is that the men at the top of these organizations, owners, U.S. soccer officials, received complaints, received reports, credible reports of abuse and inappropriate actions by coaches, and they simply failed to act. Well, what that does is it allows the abuse to spread even further. It creates more victims. It creates more complainants. And that is what systemic really is. It means everybody knew and nobody did anything.
And is that the takeaway from the Yates report?
It certainly is. One of the things that the Yates report, the second thing that will make you angriest in reading the Yates report is after the grainy detail comes the total inaction by those people who could have prevented this.
And as you point out in your article, Sally Jenkins, it's Sally Yates who says these are our top athletes. And if these are our top athletes in the world, what does that mean for those who aren't the top athletes? What does it mean for those who are just trying to get to that upper echelon of women's sports?
Well, right. How many great young women athletes have fallen by the wayside because they couldn't put up with it? They couldn't take it. It was too gross. It was too hard. One of the things Yates describes is the way in which this starts in youth soccer. One of the coaches that the report focuses on, Rory Dames, to this day still is permitted to coach youth soccer. Now, this is a guy who's described in the report as saying to his young charges that they should be shaved and bare down there. This is a guy who was making profoundly inappropriate remarks to young women. This is a guy who called them the P word, called them the C word. You know, this guy has no business coaching, and yet he was enabled at every level of the U.S. soccer system. And he was also furthermore enabled by Safe Sport, the organization that's supposed to deal with complaints of abuse, which refused to fully suspend him when it did receive a complaint.
Sally Jenkins, our guest, sports columnist for The Washington Post, and we invite you into this conversation. If you've seen something similar in women's sports, or if you are concerned about how you can best protect your young student athlete, join us, 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And Sally Jenkins, you write about the U.S. Center for Safe Sport in your article. Can you explain how it came to be and what it's supposed to be doing and how it fell short according to the Yates Report?
Well, Safe Sport was a mechanism put in place by both the U.S. Olympic Committee and Congress after the Larry Nassar gymnastics scandal as a way to deal with athletes who may have complaints of sexual abuse or physical abuse or any other sort of abuse against coaches or people in positions of power under the Olympic umbrella. As the Yates Report vividly describes, however, this mechanism or this agency is doing absolutely nothing, next to nothing. They, in one period, handled about 15 cases and 1,500 cases. And as the Yates reports discovered, they managed to administratively stymie 1,300 of those cases. Only about 122 cases reached any sort of formal resolution. So you can make a complaint to Safe Sport, but the vast chance is that nothing will ever come of it. As Yates said, those complaints wind up administratively closed without ever being publicized, without ever being acted on, and apparently without ever being fully vetted.
So how is this supposed to protect our female athletes?
Well, I mean, that's the question. There really is no protection for our female athletes or our young athletes right now. You know, Safe Sport isn't working. There are 30 Safe Sport employees to deal with 11 million American athletes under the Olympic or National Federation umbrella. They have a budget of about $23 million. And frankly, you know, that's just woefully inadequate. It's not clearly not getting the job done. And not only that, but frequently Safe Sport's jurisdiction actually acts as a preventative. So U.S. Soccer at a couple different junctures might have liked to have done something about these coaches, but Safe Sport's jurisdiction was so confusing that it actually prevented them from acting more firmly.
So it became a red tape issue that actually endangered our female athletes.
Correct. The red tape and the bureaucracy is not protecting anybody. It's if anything, it's just proving to be a mechanism for burying complaints in complete, you know, bureaucratic darkness.
Sally, what have we seen since the Yates report came out? Has there been some movement in the National Women's Soccer League?
I mean, it's been a stunning silence, really. Huh. The statements, the only people who have made firm statements or bold statements or any statements at all, for that matter, really, are the players. You know, Becky Sauerbrunn's statement was incredibly powerful and moving. Now, there have been a couple of firings in Portland. But quite honestly, it's the very, very top of the pyramid where we need to be looking for some accountability. And if you ask me, the reason why we keep seeing reports like this from whether it's gymnastics, swimming, taekwondo, why do we go through this hygiene theater time after time where we have an investigation by a large newspaper exposes a federation like gymnastics or in this case, soccer. The embarrassed officials then commission an independent report by someone like Sally Yates. The report comes out and it turns out the abuse was much bigger and broader and worse than anybody knew. And no one ever pays the price for that except the athletes. We go back to more bureaucratic shuffling. So to me, until there's some fear in the hearts of these administrators at the top of the federations, as Becky Sauerbrunn said, until those people go, we're going to keep repeating this cycle, unfortunately.
Sally Jenkins, you are a Hall of Fame sports writer, and so I would be curious to know how important you saw the journalism done by The Atlantic and The Washington Post in setting the stage for this Yates investigation.
I mean, it was everything. Molly Hensley Clancy's investigative pieces in The Washington Post and Meg Linen's pieces in The Athletic, were the spurs for the entire Yates report. And if not for the journalistic investigations, there never would have been a Yates report. Sally Yates would never have been hired by U.S. Soccer. You know, unfortunately, it takes accountability in the press, and it takes real shame and real pressure before these bodies do the right thing. And even then, you know, they commission the report. And again, it's sort of hygiene theater. It's this public, you know, cleanse, but nothing significant or consequential really happens to the people in charge who bottom drawered and shelved these complaints. I mean, these complaints were from some of our top Olympians or top collegians. There was no reason to doubt their credibility. There was no reason to doubt that Kristen Press was telling the truth. You know, a two-time Olympian and World Cup champion was telling the truth when she said, hey, this coach has a problem. This organization has a problem. You know, when she's complaining about a Rory Dames or a Christy Holly, you know, when when an Alex Morgan says that Paul Riley should not be our Olympic coach because he's relentlessly pursued athletes sexually against their will, why was that not attended to and acted on instantly by the top of U.S. soccer?
You can imply your own answer there. We're talking to award-winning Washington Post sports columnist Sally Jenkins about a new report of widespread abuse in professional women's soccer. And as Sally mentions, there's taekwondo, there's gymnastics, of course, even equestrian, swimming, skiing, you name it. So what can we do to protect our female athletes? What's it going to take? What do you think of the Yates Report? I invite you to join us at 1-800-642-1234. Why do you think we see so much abuse across women's sports? 800-642-1234 or email us ideas@wpr.org. Our conversation continues on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and we're picking up our talk with Sally Jenkins, an award-winning author and sports columnist with The Washington Post. With us today discussing a new investigative report of abuse by coaches and executives in women's professional soccer. And we want to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the abuse in women's soccer? And if you're a parent, these reports make you hesitant to let your daughter get into sports. And how do you think women's sports can better protect their athletes? 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. And Sally, what were some of the main recommendations from the Yates report, and how effective do you think they would be?
Well, the one recommendation that the Yates report makes that I like best of all is they say that the people involved with the Women's Soccer League should not be eligible for any sort of non-disparagement or non-disclosure agreement. She calls for total transparency in terms of dealing with why coaches are fired, why they're released. Because one of the things that happened here was that a coach was fired for cause, as it turns out, and then it was covered up and hushed as to what the real reasons for his firing, you know, were. And he goes on to coach at another organization and therefore abuse more players. So that has to stop. We have to have mechanisms in our federations and our Olympic umbrella sports that make it clear that if you want to be involved with the national team on any level, whether you're an official or a coach, you forfeit your right to sort of non-disclosure agreements, because you're dealing with people's daughters, you're dealing with people's children, you're dealing with a national resource, our greatest athletes. You are not entitled to operate at will and then hide your misdeeds behind a non-disclosure agreement in your contract or your buyout. So that has to stop. That has to stop. When a Steve Penny, you know, has to step down from USA Gymnastics, or a Scott Blackman has to step down from the USOC because they have, with their inaction, enabled a team doctor to molest our gold medal gymnasts for years at a time, there needs to be total transparency on exactly why those people are being moved out of their chairs.
And what about you, Sally Jenkins? You've seen it all in sports at this point. And you know, what do you think needs to change to protect female athletes?
Look, I'm 62 years old, and I've been writing these stories since I was 22 years old. And I would like to know, you know, exactly when we're going to get a grip on this thing. So one of the things, you know, that I would like to see, actually, Congress is going to convene some hearings on this report, just like they did on the Larry Nassar situation in gymnastics. And Senator Richard Blumenthal came out a couple of days ago and said, you know, they'll be looking into this just like they did gymnastics. I want some real teeth from Congress this time. I would like to see some sort of measure that makes it a crime. If you're involved in our Olympic program or our national sports programs in any way, and you receive a report that an athlete is being abused and you do not immediately act on it and conduct a full fact-finding operation, you should be charged with a crime. Because essentially what you are doing is jeopardizing the health of scores more athletes.
Sally, I'm thinking about if these athletes had more security, financial security specifically, if they would have more power within their sport. And that leads me to the pay gap in women's sports. Does that play into this dynamic at all?
You know, I think it has because, you know, if you look at something even as sort of comparatively benign as the way the NCAA was treating women's basketball players a couple years ago, where they got inferior treatment at their tournament. They didn't even get a proper weight room. They were getting inferior food. All of that says, well, it's just women. You know, women aren't, I mean, some of the people in this soccer organization weren't even being, you know, put through background checks. They weren't being properly vetted the way you would vet someone who is going to scout or coach for the men's national team. You know, we value our young men more than our young women. It's that simple. Well, one thing that attitude does is it's a magnet for abusers. You know, there's enormous leverage for coaches. There's only one path to the national team and the Olympics, and it's through these guys, right? It's through these coaches, youth coaches, national team, junior team coaches, national team coaches. They have the ability to completely blockade your career, which gives them huge power over the athletes. And just like a college player has to rely on the head coach for the maintenance of their scholarship. And so that relationship bears really close examination. But in women's sports, we haven't been looking at it very closely because, you know, it's just women.
Sally Jenkins, sports columnist for The Washington Post, and we invite you into the conversation as we discuss the Yates investigation into the National Women's Soccer League and the fact that more than it was about half of the teams in the National Women's Soccer League received complaints against their coach. And what can be done about that?
Not only did they receive complaints, exactly half were fired.
Wow. Let's go to your calls at 1-800-642-1234, where Jen in Madison is standing by. Jen, you're on the air with Sally Jenkins.
Hi, Sally. First of all, I really appreciate you highlighting this topic, and I'm just going to set my rage aside for a minute and ask this question. So it's a good question to ask what we can change in women's sports, but can you put this situation in the context of what women are experiencing in general, like loss of body autonomy and what that says? I mean, these women suffered abuse of their bodies and weren't treated with respect and rights, and we're seeing that as a larger societal issue. Can you sort of say, do you think we can make changes with, you know, in athletics with what's going on in a larger societal sense?
Jen, thank you. Sally.
I do. You know, I think Title IX is the closest thing to an equal rights amendment that was ever passed in this country. You know, it's had a seismic effect. And one of the things it's done is it's created, you know, generations and generations of women who are actually equipped to coach themselves. It's given women a sense of ownership of their own bodies. It's made strong the new beautiful. And one of the things I think we could see here is I would like to see more coaching jobs going to women. You know, why is it that we have these men, these guys who are really sort of second-rate guys from overseas, frankly, a lot of these guys are from England, come over here and they get jobs working into like junior level, lower level tiers of our national soccer program. Why aren't those jobs going to, you know, our best female prospects to be head coaches? You know, that's one thing I think I'd like to see. But in terms of the broader societal question, you know, obviously, you know, you have cases like Walmart where, you know, women weren't being promoted and they filed a class action suit that they actually ended up losing because they just weren't being promoted at the same clip. I mean, you look at law firm partners, you look at, you know, STEM, you look at Silicon Valley. And yeah, it's still a real uphill battle for women and to be promoted and to, you know, gain sort of, you know, equal treatment in the workplace. You know, disparate treatment is still a really, really profound problem in the society. And God forbid you be a Black woman, you know? You know, there's something to it. We're talking about generations of valuing boys over girls and young men over our young women. It's changing. There's been some tremendous change since I've been doing this, since I was 22 years old. thanks to people like my great late friend Pat Summitt or Tara Vanderveer at Stanford. But we just have a long way to go when our greatest gold medal athletes have to suffer physical abuse in silence. Something is sick in our society.
Sally Jenkins, is there something, and we're just about out of time, but as a fan of women's soccer, is there something we should be doing to support these athletes?
Well, I think one thing everyone should do is take a real close look at who you're entrusting your daughter to in youth soccer. And at the high school and collegiate level, and make sure these people are licensed. Make one of these guys wasn't even licensed. Okay. So first of all, make sure that they are licensed by a governing body to be a coach in the first place. That's one thing you can do. But the second thing you can do is you can talk to your senator who may be sitting on some of these hearings and let them know that you want the suits at these organizations to have a little fear in their hearts about the consequences for them the next time they ignore a complaint of abuse from a young woman athlete.
Do you think we're going in the right direction here, Sally? Are you optimistic that we're making at least some progress with this Yates report?
I mean, yeah, the Yates report is great, but I'll be honest with you, until a man in charge of one of these federations is literally sent to jail in handcuffs, I'm not sure we're going to see a profound change. There has to be some sort of accountability, just with any other kind of white collar crime. You know, until a stock trader or a hedge funder goes to prison for their malfeasance, you don't see, you know, these businesses straightening up. And the same thing is true here. This is a problem that has run rampant. We've had people at the top be able to act with impunity for generations. And it's going to take putting some fear in their hearts to change this.
Sally, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
Sally Jenkins, award-winning sports columnist for The Washington Post, the author of 12 books, with us today to discuss the new report of widespread abuse in professional women's soccer and the column that she wrote for The Washington Post entitled, Another Report on Abuse in Women's Sports, When Is Enough Enough?